chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Dad was bugging me today about what I was going to preach on. I didn't want to tell him. He finally got out of me that I was going to be in Hebrews. And the next thing he asked me, what chapter? I told him I'm not going to tell you. As far as you get. So Hebrews chapter 11. Tonight I'd like to bring a message that's entitled simply, Seeing the Invisible. Seeing the Invisible. And we're going to look at a bunch of different verses in this chapter, so just be ready. But as I give you that title, I'm going to read four other verses from the Scripture before I begin. One of them is going to come out of Hebrews 10. And to try to set the tone here tonight, for seeing the invisible. All right, Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4 says, but the just shall live by his faith. Romans chapter 1, verse 17, basically quoting Habakkuk, says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. 2 Corinthians 5, 7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. And then Hebrews 10:38 says, now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. So we come to Hebrews 11. A lot of you, I hope you know it, is the Hall of Faith. I think that's a good title for the chapter. It kind of reminds us of what's going to be discussed in Hebrews chapter 11. It's probably, to me, one of the most encouraging and motivating chapters in the Bible. And so it's good for us to go to a lot. It reminds us of those believers who went before us and teaches us and so many things that made them successful. You want to be successful in your Christian life. I hope, I believe that you do. And very simply, what made them successful was is they exercised their faith instead of acting against it. They exercised it. When push came to shove, they responded in faith instead of responding in unbelief. All right, so how did they do that? How did they do that? I think a lot of times we ask ourselves this question, how do we do that? It's simple. They choose to believe that which had been promised them without having seen it. Seeing the invisible. They chose to believe that which had been promised them without having to have seen it. And this is so important. We must live by faith, live through the eyes of faith, and that is seeing the unseen many times. So now the emphasis, I'm going to bring this out to you hopefully, is that there's a strong emphasis in this chapter, not on faith simply, but on seeing or not seeing. And it begins here in verse number 1, all right? Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things, let's say it together, not seen. I mean, right there it is in the first verse, and you can trace this through this great chapter. Things not seen. The just must live by faith, and therefore a major component of our lives is that we act, that we make decisions based upon unseen things. Unseen things. By the way, not unheard of things, just unseen things. And that's encouraging to me. This is not a blind leap in the dark, but things not seen yet, but that we've heard about, that we've heard about. Look at verse number 3. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. That's another word for seeing, appearing here in verse 3. Verse 7. Look down there with me if you would. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things, here it is, not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. So moved with fear, he had a reverential respect for the word of God to the point where that reverential respect for God led him to obey when God gave him a commandment to do something that he hadn't seen anything about. A lot of people believe it hadn't even rained at this point in time on the earth when Noah starts building the ark. All right. So look how he responded. And it's God is making this clear. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. I remember very early on in our time in Connecticut, there was a man in our church and he had a sister in town. And we believed her to be unsaved. And I went down to visit with her. I think probably the first time you came with me, actually, brother, another time later on to visit her. Her name was Gail. And we just tried to, you know, make small talk with Gail and to get to know her and open up a conversation with her and talk to her about her belief. And this is what she said. She said, "I will believe in God. I will believe in Jesus Christ when God brings my husband back." I've never forgotten that conversation. It was, you know, you hear about those things and you hear about people thinking like that, but you're not, nobody would actually articulate that. Would they? Yes, this is where the person was. This was how wrapped up and absorbed they were with the passing of their husband. I guess somewhat unexpectedly for her that, and really God was at fault for that. So if God would bring that person back, then you'd believe. Look at verse number 8. "By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went." He hadn't seen it. I mean, he hadn't seen it in any way. He hadn't seen pictures of it. Like today, we can go on the internet and we can look up probably pictures of almost any place on the globe before we'd even set foot there. He didn't have any of that. He didn't even know where he was going. Abraham left all that he knew or had seen before for what he had not seen nor known. Why? Because he trusted that God's will was the best thing for his life. Verse 10. Look at verse 10. "For he," is Abraham now, "for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God." And this is such a critical point. Abraham recognized the truth. It was better to let God shape his future by obedience than it was for him to shape that future for himself. For himself. He chose to have a city of God's making instead of a city of his own making. That is so good. That's what faith does. Faith allows the Lord to bring things into our lives of his making instead of us always have to be making it for ourselves before anything will happen. Verse 13, "These all," to all the ones that have mentioned up until this point, we of course we haven't touched on all of these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. So what does that mean, having seen them afar off? This doesn't mean like they got out binoculars or they got out some spotting scope and they were able to then see it. No, they never did physically see it with their eyes. They were seeing it by faith. And you've heard this before. You've heard about seeing things through the eyes of faith. This is the verse that's built upon. It's built upon that. The idea here is that they believed by faith those things without seeing them with their physical eyes, seeing afar off. That's the meaning here. Literal translation of the word order would be something like this: from a distance, them they saw. So the idea of the promises or them, that's what they saw. They saw the promises, and that means they were believing in them. They didn't have to see it yet. How many times do perhaps maybe you witness to someone, or maybe you'd have to say, "Hey, it's in my own life, my own experience," or dealing with other believers, and they're not willing to make faith-based decisions because their idea is, "I've got to experience it, I've got to see it before I can act on it." And that is just so opposite the way that God has designed for us to operate. The word picture here is someone very much like Moses on Mount Nebo, seeing something far off in the distance, but yet never getting to experience it in his life, but he saw it through the eyes of faith. Let's continue looking now in verse 27. We're going to move forward now to Moses. Verse 27 of this just great chapter. This is Moses being talked about. "By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible." Seeing the invisible, that's what the chapter is all about. Seeing him who is invisible. Moses did not fear the king he could see. I mean, this is just fantastic. Moses didn't fear the Pharaoh he could see, a tangible person, somebody he could talk to and so forth, someone who had power in one sense to harm him. He didn't fear that king. He feared the king that he could not see at all. How did he do that? Because that's where his faith had been rested. These men and women of faith had a type of vision that God honors and leads to a very well-lived life. But, you know, it's the type of vision that our Lord warned would be increasingly smaller as the days would go on. You remember what Christ would said, when the Son of Man cometh, you remember how it ends? Shall he find faith on the earth? Shall he find faith on the earth? Shall he find people like this of faith still upon the earth? These precious saints had vision procured by the eyes of faith. They moved ahead with what God had told them, no matter how bizarre it seemed to others around them, because they were counting on the goodness of God. They were believing in the promises of God, just like Noah did. Interestingly, if you go back and you read these accounts in the Old Testament, you'll find out that a lot of these folks struggled with faith at times. They weren't perfect in the exercise of their faith. And to me, this is extremely encouraging. I hope that it is to you. Remember Abraham? Abraham saw Hagar. And using his vision, he rationalized a way of making God's promise come to him. He tried to do it his own way to make it happen. Moses killed an Egyptian at first because in his eyes, this is how a deliverer should act. These weak faith moments caused problems for both of them, didn't it? Our weak faith moments cause problems for us. But it's not the end. And let's not forget that. Look at verse 32, if you would. Hebrews chapter 11 now. Verse 32. And I really appreciate this. My dad asked me this question today, if I thought Paul wrote the book of Hebrews. I said, I don't know. I said, you know, I guess if I had to give a yes or no question, I'd say yes, but I don't know. But look, the author here is almost like, I don't know what else to say. What more can I say in verse 32? And what shall I more say? I mean, how many more people can he lay out there for us? You know, the author's trying to say, it's like, okay, do I need to give you any more? You know, I've run through a who's who now of the Old Testament. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets. Now look at those characters again. Gideon, we know about Gideon, Barak and Deborah, and Samson, Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets. There's one surprising character in that list to me anyway. We're looking at faith, and it's probably the same one as surprising to you. And that's Samson, who through most of his story there in Judges 14 and 15 operated almost exclusively with his physical eyes and not the eyes of faith. But he's in here. It's in this chapter. He saw the Philistine woman and just had to marry her. He saw the honey and he broke his Nazarite vow by going and taking it out of the carcass. He saw the harlot and just had to spend the night. He saw Delilah and he foolishly ended up telling her all of his heart. How in the world did Samson get into the Hall of Faith? I mean, if we had a Hall of Faithlessness, I think he probably could be in that list. Along with me and you and lots of others. Perhaps it was because Samson did not see clearly until the eyes of faith were the only eyes he had left to see with. It's fascinating. Where can we put Samson down as an example of any type of faith except at the very last moment of his life when he's got no eyes left? His eyes of his head had offended enough and the Lord had allowed them to be plucked out and cast from him. Kind of a reminder of what the Lord said in Matthew 18:9 about that. And it was in this extreme step of chastening that led to Samson's greatest display of faith. And I think it's no accident that God relates back there in the book of Judges to us that in Samson's destruction of himself, he just killed more Philistines in that act than he had done altogether up until that point before. Perhaps there are far too many of us trusting in our gut instincts, our intellect, the news media, higher education, family traditions, Christian traditions sometimes, sadly to say. Cultural Christianity is more important to us and followed more closely than the New Testament model is followed and adhered to. But there are often decisions that God calls Christians to make that the world just doesn't understand and would never make. Why would a man leave his home not knowing where God was sending him? Would that make any sense if you went out and to the world and your secular neighbor or secular employer and said, you know, I really believe that this is what I'm supposed to do. And they ask you why. And it's, well, God's leading me to go here. Why are you supposed to go there? I'm not sure. What do you think that sounded like to Abraham when he told all of his relatives down the Ur of Chaldees, okay, I'm supposed to go over here. I'm supposed to go north and God wants me to go somewhere after I don't know where. How about when Abraham is called to go take his son up there on Mount Moriah and he had to, how'd he explain that one? Think anybody would think that made much sense? Have you ever, you know, tried to explain to people decisions that you made for the Lord and his calling, they kind of looked at you askance, like, that doesn't make any sense to me. I would never do that. And you and I walk away thinking, are we fools for doing these things? I mean, why would a man build an ark in the middle of a plain? Why would a man give up royalty and riches and the most powerful country and nation in the world at that time to suffer affliction with the people of God? I mean, these are miserable slaves, you know, building bricks and just and total abject poverty. Oh, yeah, I'm going to leave this behind. I'm going to go join up with them because I believe that Jehovah is with them. Did he look like he was with his people? I mean, not from the world's eyes, but he surely was. How this will encourage you tonight. You, as you walk with the Lord, as you're faithful to Him, as you're faithful to the things that you know He'd have you be faithful to, your Bible, your prayer time, your church. Don't be out there looking for the applause of the world in this. Don't be out there looking for them to be stoking you and encouraging you and promoting you to do this. You're going to have to see it through the eyes of faith that that's clearly what God has revealed for me to do. And that's what I'm going to choose to do. I'm going to continue doing it. I'm not going to be having my finger in the air to try to determine whether or not I'm going to do that. I'm not going to be looking around to make sure I've got enough of a majority at least giving, you know, me lip service that that's okay, that I'm going to do that. Why would a person give 10% of their income or 15% or 20% or more to the Lord when they could keep it for themselves and allegedly get more enjoyment out of life? Why would anybody do that? You know what? Maybe they've seen something that others haven't seen. Maybe they're seeing the promises that God has made all through the Scripture about that. And they're saying, I'm going to believe that by the eyes of faith. I don't have to experience the windows of heaven being open for me to go ahead and do that beforehand. This is what they saw and what they still see today. We read the promises of God in the Bible and we say in our hearts, I believe that is true. I make a choice of the will in my heart to say yes to that, even though I can't see it with physical eyes. I believe these promises are just as much of a reality as anything that I can see physically, or that I can hold in my hands or touch. I want to read verse 9 through 16. Just let this just soak into you. These verses 9 through 16 of chapter 11. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age. Because, it's giving the reason now, notice this, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, in him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky and multitude as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. For they that say such things. I think the writer is now trying to bring us in here. Do we say such things? And they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. You know, you and I say a lot of things in our life, not by what we say with our mouths, but what we do with our feet. They were making choices of faith and they were saying things. That's how the writer is bringing this out here. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now, they desire a better country that isn't heavenly. And wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He hath prepared for them a city. He hath prepared for them a city. Well, great that is. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 1 says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Having therefore these promises. A lot of promises in the Bible for the believer. A lot of them. They're good. And for this of faith they obtained a good report. This is what Hebrews chapter 12 or 11 verse 2 says. And verse 39 says they obtained a good report for that faith. That means they had a good testimony from their faith. By faith they pleased God and they blessed God by their faith. By faith they were able to endure the worst of things. By faith they were and are honored by God as people, as verse 38 says, of whom the world is not worthy. Despite the world thinking that many of them are not worthy to live. This kind of faith should be the aspiration of every Christian because it is a faith that gives endurance in the testings that we will all face. These believers faced scourgings. They faced homelessness, being sawn asunder, and more. And now look at chapter 12, verse 1. Don't ever forget that chapter 12, verse 1 is hearkening the reader back, you back, me back, to all these people in chapter 11. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. That's the witnesses that were just prepared and laid out for us in chapter 11. We're compassed about. We're surrounded by these examples, these witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. I'm going to ask you tonight. It's a good question to ask. Good question to think about. It really is. Are the people and events listed in chapter 11, did they really happen? I know the right answer. I know the textbook answer. You have to ask yourself, do you really believe those things happen? Or are they just mythological, religious stories? You know, it's interesting that a lot of game shows and things like that and different board games and things, they'll still have questions in there about the Bible. It's amazing. Shows like Jeopardy will still, on a regular basis, have Bible categories on there. But it's almost like when you hear the people give the answers, or sometimes you have the questions being given by the host, it's almost like they're treating it like it's a mythological book of stories. I can't know that, but that's just kind of the way it sounds a lot of times. Sportscasters who you know by their testimonies and examples of life are unbelievable, or who are unbelievable, will throw out the David and Goliath illustration on a regular basis. Peter said in 2 Peter, we have not followed cunningly devised fables. I mean, he was preparing his audience for the fact, you're going to get accused of following cunningly devised fables. But that is not the case. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Tonight, let that be said of your life. Let that be said of my life. died in faith. Heavenly Father, tonight, thank you for this encouraging chapter. We walk by faith and not by sight. And you routinely and regularly bring things into our life to give us a good test about that. Are we going to continue to walk by faith and not by sight? Do we have to see before we're going to believe? But or are we willing to see the invisible? Are we developing ourselves? Are we preparing ourselves to act and obey on the promises of the Scripture, whether or not we have seen it? Now, you have told us so many things that when we do act by faith, you will respond. You will honor. You will bless. You will open up the windows of heaven. And that's absolutely true. There are things that we will see. We have to choose. Live by faith. Believe the promises, even as if we have experienced them. And be like Abraham, who will say, Lord, even if I don't get to experience them in my lifetime, you've promised me a city, and I know at some time I'm going to get to experience it. We study Abraham's life, we find out he did not get to experience it in his time. I believe he's experiencing it now, as for some time. We're very grateful for what you have done for us, that we can enjoy and experience in this temporal time which you've given to us. Bestowed plenty of blessings upon us for us to trust and continue to believe in you. May we, as we move into 2023, continue to walk by faith and not by sight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Pastor, I'll turn it over to you.